And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for spending this Saturday afternoon or whenever you're listening to this program, because not only do we broadcast and stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, but we also are rebroadcast on A2Zen.fm. That's A2Zen.fm at 2 p.m. Pacific time on Sundays. And of course, we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. So you have lots of opportunities, lots of ways of getting this information. We also encourage you to go to our guests' websites and check out their information. If you've been to richarddugan.com, you notice that there isn't a lot of information there about my guests. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. They have a website, and so I send you there so that you can gather that information and determine for yourself what's going to work for you and what's not going to work for you. We encourage you to, again, check out the information that they have to offer, because I think that our guests have some very good information to offer, and I hope that you will avail yourself of it. At least take a look at it. I consider it's like a smorgasbord. Smorgasbord? A table full of all kinds of different foods, if you will, and you come to the table and you take what you like and maybe try, taste a little of this and a little of that, and if you don't like it, then don't have it again. I know that I will never place in my mouth a large flower-shaped piece of salmon. Big mistake. It was raw. I didn't know that, and I thought it was something else. Not a pleasant experience, but again, that's how we learn. It was a real-life experience of learning, and I learned not to do that ever again. If I was going to do that, I would probably put it on my plate, cut a little piece off, and see what it was. I like salmon, but not in the bulk form that I inhaled that piece. Nonetheless, again, we do come here every Saturday, and we are here to provide you with new paradigms for a new world. We're trying to give you choices, some things maybe you've never heard of before, that you never thought of before. And with that, we're going to introduce our guest for today's program. And she has written a book, which most of our guests, they have books and information, CDs and so forth. She has all kinds of things available for you at her website. Her book is Soul Reunion. Now, to me, that's intriguing because I wonder how it is that I was separated and then the return home from separation. We're going to talk with our guest. It is Susan Taylor Shire, and I want to welcome you to our program.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's just a lot of fun to be with you on this Saturday afternoon.
Thank you for taking time and also for sharing the work that you're doing as well regarding reunion. Reunion with the divine is our purpose, and embodiment of that union is our fulfillment. Now, when you, as we like to do, define terms, what are you referring to in the title as far as the soul?
Ah, what is the soul?
Wait a minute. Not what is the soul. What do you mean by the soul in Soul Reunion?
Yes, okay. What I mean by the soul in Soul Reunion is we are reuniting those aspects of us that have been disconnected from the soul. So we could say soulful reunion, reunion to the soul of ourselves with those aspects of ourselves that have been disconnected.
And how did they get disconnected? Because I thought when we came into this world, we were pretty well hooked up. I mean, we hear from stories of children who see and hear things that most of us adults are not aware of. But then as these children grow up, they usually don't see or hear them anymore. Is that and I'm not saying that that's it, but I'm just saying those are kind of manifestations thereof?
Yes. We're all connected as souls to life, to creation, to the divine. But there are parts of us that have not remained in connection, and that's why we feel fear. Whatever it is that we're feeling is everything that we're experiencing, whether it's a physical difficulty, cancer, you name it, to emotional difficulties, to a sense of mental confusion, are wounds of separation, places in us that do not feel connected. We can't feel fear and disconnection at the same time. When you're connected, you don't, at a soul level, you don't feel fear.
Oh, I see. So you can't feel fear and connection at the same time.
Well, you might feel a larger sense of connection, and you might feel a part of you that's still holding a sensation of fear.
Okay.
But we're talking the difference between your soul. Yes, your soul is always, in essence, connected, but there are aspects of you that aren't connected. And that's the fearful part, as an example.
Okay. Now, there are those who say that these various emotions, fear, anger, frustration, and again, we can go down the list, they're part of the human experience. But you've also heard the phrase that we are human beings having a spiritual experience versus spiritual beings having a human experience. What's the truth? What's the juxtaposition?
Okay, the way I see it is, yes, we came to have a human experience, but we came to have a human experience as a spiritual being, not being separate from our spirituality. So I don't believe that emotions that are separate from our spiritual dimension are truly the ones we're supposed to have. A human experience means we have the six senses, touch, taste, feel, see, etc., through which we experience life. And in that regard, we would only be knowing things like joy, peace, pleasure, strength, confidence, flexibility, all qualities of spirit. Feel them, touch them, taste them, experience them in a 3D physical dimension. That's what we mean by human experience. Fear, greed, manipulation were not designed to be part of the human experience. But when we started getting so separate, we started creating, so to speak, it really wasn't a field of creation, we started to be disconnected, and that creates a whole can of worms, which creates fear, anger, etc.
There are many people who, I'm hearing conversations throughout my day with people, who are kind of expressing a great deal of frustration over the way things are for us as humans. And some are even starting to say that the way in which we have been living for the last 40 or 50, maybe even 100 years, especially in this country, and again, we're going to go back to the spiritual being having a human experience. The ancient wisdom teachings speak of us and tell of our divinity, of our source, where we come from. And they're saying that these individuals are saying that the life that we as humans have been living for, again, roughly around 100 years, maybe a little longer, is beneath us. It's demeaning, and that we deserve and are entitled to, and when I say entitled, we create it, a greater, a richer life than being on what they refer to as the treadmill of just being a consumer producer. And they use the example of nature. Where else in nature, in the natural world of animals, let alone plants, do you see that exhibited, along with the potential for total self-annihilation of the species? Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yes, certainly. I do agree. You know, when we look at nature, something in us goes, wow, isn't it amazing how much harmony is kept in nature constantly, regardless of this human destruction that we keep saying we have to do it this way. We keep destroying. We keep annihilating. And we've been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how nature keeps animals, keeps a sense of harmony within that at the same time, which shows how life prevails, creation prevails, regardless of what I call human consciousness in separation. The only thing that really is separate is human consciousness in separation. Everything else on this planet has stayed connected, and it doesn't have the level of consciousness that humans do, which was meant to be something glorious, and we have destroyed it.
We've mucked it up, as it were.
We have mucked it up, yes.
To stay with an FCC rules and regulations terminology, it's strange to me, though, how we, you and I and others of our mindset, if you will, and again, it's where we are today. Our mindset will change tomorrow and next week and next month and so forth.
Yeah.
Because we're constantly resetting it, so to speak. But because we're in that mindset of transformation, we know, we're told this constantly, that the only constant in the universe is change, is transformation. You can't escape it. It's going to happen whether you like it or not.
right.
Yeah. And so when it comes to this whole business of reconnecting with the soul, I ask people constantly on this program, my guests, to give us a clue as to, well, how can we do that? And of course, one of the keys that I hear quite often, and I want you to explain how through Soul Mastery, and by the way, your website is soulmastery.net, and your book, Reunion, Soul Reunion, they say, go out into nature. That's where you're going to facilitate the reconnection, if you will, or the reunion, as you would term it. Is that's one of the term, one of the methods, if you will, would you say?
Well, yes, but there's something more specific, because what we're doing is reconnecting the parts of us that have not been connected. And that's what I'm working with, is human consciousness in separation. When we go into nature, whether it's the stars or a blade of grass, that evokes in us a sense of what union feels like or potentially can feel like. So that opens us up to what we want to be experiencing all the time. So what we're doing is learning how to take those parts that have been disconnected and are not in that place of union, and being able to bring them into union with the part of us which we keep expanding that is connected and does love being unified with all life. And yes, being in nature is a way to amplify that for sure. And we hope that there are lots and lots and lots and lots of ways for people to get amplified in their connection.
Tell me how you began this path. Was this something that you started in childhood, as many people tend to start their path, or was there an event, a catalyst that happened within your life that changed the direction to where you're headed now?
Well, you know, I love being able to say that no, I was not born psychic. No, I did not have these experiences in childhood. No, I did not have a cataclysmic event that woke me up and said, aha, I am more normal. And what I love about that is that really 90 to 95% of us are like me, and there are a few that are the ones that are born psychic or born and then have a near-death experience. I was one of those that just was geared in this lifetime to let my soul unfold, and as I've looked back on my life, that's what I see. My soul unfolded, which is the natural course of events, and I kept waking up to newer and newer and newer possibilities of how to expand my soul, help others expand their soul.
So let's get into Soul Reunion as far as it's something, I guess, that is sort of what, innate on a spiritual level within each one of us, that we're aware that there's something amiss or disconnected. We're not really sure exactly how to go about reconnecting or
right.
Reuniting. And yet you have been able to sort of ascertain how to do that. So where do we begin? We already know there's the, you know, the dis-ease or disconnection. So how do we, what's the first step or two to reconnect?
Okay, great. So in the book, Soul Reunion, The Return Home from Separation, you can see it as your little red toolbox with all the information in there, and I will give you some pieces of that for sure, for how to reconnect. And, you know, what I use, and I'll use a couple of them today, are all the examples of ways that we find ourselves feeling disconnected, overwhelmed, living beyond our means, grief, loss, powerlessness, helplessness is a big one these days, feeling alone, fear of being alone, all these ways that we have hung out, so to speak, separate. I address all of them. So you have a map back for most betrayal, you name it, most of the conditions that we as humans find ourselves in when we are in separation. So it isn't just a blanket statement, you're in separation, get reconnected. What does separation mean? And so that's what I map out, are all the different ways that we find ourselves. Scarcity is a place of separation. You can't feel connected and feel scarce. When you feel connected, you start to access those dimensions of abundance. So how do we get reconnected? One of the simple tools that I love to give outside of the book that I can talk about is a fun little phrase. So have everyone who's on the call, listening to the replay, whatever it is, at this moment, think of a human emotion that you have felt in the last 24 hours. So let me give you an example of one. Helplessness. Okay? Mm-hmm. I can't get that policeman to not give me that ticket. I feel helpless to the fact that he has authority in the situation. Okay? Whatever the situation is, go into the feeling. Stuck in traffic. Late for dinner. Whatever it is. So I'm going to say that the feeling that I'm going to present here is helplessness. Helplessness goes with powerlessness, that we are not in command of our life. So say the phrase, without connection, I feel helpless. So I'm feeling helpless right now. Start the sentence, without connection, I feel helpless, which wakes us up to the fact that it's a state that we have created. Without connection, I feel helpless. Not, I am helpless, it's horrible, it's, you know, I don't know what to do with myself. Without connection, I feel helpless. So it becomes an emotional realm rather than a state of being that you can't get out of. Okay? Then what you say to yourself is, with connection, I feel, or I would feel, and fill in the blank and see what comes to you. Would you like to try that on right now, Richard?
Sure. Go ahead. Let's do that.
Okay, so I would say, if I was feeling helpless, without connection, I feel helpless to make a difference. I can see that policeman. He's right behind me. He's coming towards me. Ah! Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then I go, okay, without connection, I feel helpless. Absolutely, that's how I'm feeling right now. Okay. With connection, and then I go inside with connection, and I feel that sense of connection, and it's important to remember a state of connection, whether it's seeing a hummingbird, a flower, nature, God, the sun, whatever is connection for you that you're aware of at this moment in time in your life. So then you feel that and you go, okay, with that connection, I feel
I'm going to
get
empowered.
This taken care of and move on.
Right. Right.
Okay? It shifts it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this taken care of and move on, which means I stay in command of my life. I don't have to go into resistance. I don't have to curse him, complain. I'm just going to move on and go, yeah, I got it. I made, you know, I made a mistake here. I'm moving on. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the interesting things that came to mind as we were going through this was the whole, you know, when you mentioned resistance, or not resisting in that instance, especially in the second half of the example, as far as moving on, as far as getting beyond it, not making it a focal point, which is what we do. It becomes larger than life, so to speak.
Correct. Larger than us.
Yeah. One of the interesting things, and I won't belabor our listeners with an extensive explanation, but to share with you, my early years, 15 years of my career were spent at a Christian radio station. And in that, I was hearing all of the time different phrases, different passages. And one in particular struck me that was quoted quite often as far as standing up and fighting. They used this passage to do just that, to stand up and fight against whatever it was that they wanted to do. And the passage was, resist not evil. And I thought, wait a minute, that doesn't say stand up and fight. That actually says turn and walk away. And what that began to say to me was, and to your example, if I stand and, let's say, that which I am fighting is a brick wall, and I stand and I push against that brick wall as hard as I can with my own might and my own will, most likely that wall is going to stand and I'm going to end up becoming exhausted. Whereas if I turn around, put my back to the wall, and walk the other direction, guess what I get to do with my energy? I'm not exhausted. I refocus on the things that I want to do, and the wall is the wall. And I don't care about the wall. That's not part of my purpose in life. So is that a fair analogy to what you have just described?
Yes, I think it's a great analogy. The only thing I'm going to add is to be clear that the inner state that you are holding when you are making that statement, okay, is that you're making the statement, not I am in charge of my life, but I am in command of this moment in time and this situation in my life.
Right, right.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's purpose in life is to resist things.
No. Resisting is fighting against. Yep.
Yeah. What was it? One of our guests, Barbara Marks Hubbard, who has been on this program a number of times, and actually, I guess, was a nominee back in, I think it was the 80s, for vice president of this country, actually had part of her platform was the Department of Peace.
Yeah.
And we need to develop a Department of Peace within ourselves, because that's where the resistance goes away.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. When you are in command of your life from the inside, there is a sense of all is well,
yeah,
peacefulness, and assurance that you have what you need.
When we come
or
back,
or whatever the situation,
right. When we come back, we're going to talk more about reunion. I think we're all very familiar with separation. Reunion also implies a bit of a celebratory atmosphere, because when you have family reunions and you haven't seen people for weeks, months, or years, who you really enjoy being around, there is, you know, a great deal of smiling and sometimes crying because we haven't kept in touch. And I have to tell you, it's a far cry from the social networking that is so popular these days. And we'll talk more about that as we continue. I'm talking with Susan Taylor Shire, author of Soul Reunion. Her website is soulmastery.net. That's soulmastery.net. I am Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And welcome back. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. We are working to bring you new paradigms for a new world. We're looking here to bring you back together, reconnected, reunited with yourself. You know, there's a song that keeps running through my head as we're doing this program, Susan Taylor Shire, author of Soul Reunion, the song Reunited by, I think it was Peaches and Herb or something along those lines back in the late 70s or early 80s.
That's a first. That's great.
But it is true that we're really working at that. And as I mentioned before, we went to break about it being like a family reunion. And it's been a long time since I've been to one. I don't get an opportunity to see my family, my brother and sisters and my parents very often. The last time was actually 2 years ago. And I've been living in the Santa Barbara area for now 6 years. So it's a fair far stretch between. But nonetheless, they're always joyous occasions because it's been so long. And there's so many things that we don't get to do that we did when we all lived in the same city. So the same analogy, or it can be used as an analogy, as far as soul reunion and reconnecting with oneself. But one of the aspects of reconnecting with oneself, I wanted to ask you about, is we've talked a lot about this on previous programs, in regards to the still small voice, our intuition, gut feeling, and again, we can go on and on with all kinds of names that we would give that. Where can you give us an indication of where that comes from? Because it isn't certainly coming from our minds and our ego.
Right. Well, you know, one of my favorite classes that I teach, teleclass, I have recordings for it and all of that, is Ignite Your Intuition, the Voice of Your Soul. So I find that there's a great connection between what I call our intuitive guidance system and our soul, because really our soul is meant to provide that for us. A link to spirit, link to spirit's voice, our soul's voice, our sense of connection to all the wisdom and knowledge that we need to handle situations. Much better system than figuring it out by asking a million people all around us and sometimes asking our families who don't know how to tell us the answers or
and
even counselors sometimes.
In many instances, don't care. I mean, they may say they care,
right.
but it isn't a dispassionate not caring. It's they have their own lives to lead too. You know, and
yeah. There
again, another song comes rolling through the head. The line in it is, I'll be darned if he can, if he'll run my life, he can barely run his own. That's going back to the 60s, which is, music is always running through my head, so I can't help it. But anyway, so as a matter of fact, one of the things that occurs to me, and you mentioned when describing how you came to this place in your life today, you weren't necessarily born a psychic per se, but wouldn't you say that you had that inner knowing even at the time of entering this world?
Oh, absolutely. We all have it.
Okay.
We all come with it, but it gets covered over, or we choose not to listen to it because we think we need to listen to the people outside of us, our humanness, to learn how to be in this life. We think humans know how to teach us how to be in life, and we're, you know, indoctrinated that way, whether it's physical school teachers, our parents, do what I tell you to do or else, you know, all these kinds of things that make us feel as though in order to survive in this world, we have to listen to these outer voices. And so we lose track of those inner voices. And believe me, I've worked with lots of people who said, yeah, when I was young, I had this sense of something so much larger with me. And, it didn't serve me. It actually took something away from me. So I cut it out and let go of it. And that is what I call a soul wound, for sure.
It reminds me of the stories I've read of one individual in particular, Edgar Cayce, who had these visions and he was channeling and he was doing all of these things, but he was also a born-again Christian who struggled internally between what he was actually doing and what he claimed he believed. Does that happen with us a lot?
That we struggle
internally with the reality of an experience that we have versus the things that we're taught to believe or that we even choose to believe.
Well, I would say those of us who are conscious and connected to, you know, because we've chosen that, will have some of that struggle. Because the feeling is we want to belong to this world, we want to be part of something. And if we let go of the human conditioning or sensing that our parents are the ones that are supposed to lead us, then we feel like we're going to be lost and not much will work for us. The general public for sure has no sense of that at all. They just keep ticking along and going, this is as good as it gets. They never have those moments where things open up and go, oh, it could be different.
Yeah. I think that's probably also an aspect of resisting being reunited. We can watch our newscasts and see the various people that are being featured in very real events, at least to them and maybe to us as we're watching them. But they have resisted those impressions, those insights, the information, because it's contrary to the ways in which they were told things are to be. And what we're seeing in the world today as various institutions and systems begin to decay, they're suffering from their own entropy, I think is the right term. They're beginning to see that the systems that they were taught as children and in school, in high school and college, that were supposed to be foundations for the future, were made of sand. And now they don't have any place to turn, whether it be a financial or economic institution, a religious institution, a political institution, educational, the list goes on. So where else do we have to turn but the soul?
Yes, exactly. That's right. We could call it turning inside, but I also find that our soul is also connecting us to a much vaster field that we need to be part of. I call it the field of creation. In this time of recession, the only way we're going to make it through as individuals, as a sense of humanity, is to get out of survival into a level of creation. So we have to listen to the voice of creation. And I often say to people, ask, what would I create now, not what is going to help me survive and manage my life. Most of our belief systems come from the sense of fight or flight survival mechanisms, and that's where we get into mistakes. I suspect that there are so many people that have even died or been in, accidents, in horrible situations, and if they really were self-responsible, honest people, they'd say, it was that moment that I made a poor choice that led me down that path.
I even take a look at that. I can even, there are, and I'm not going to get into specifics because it's not that important here, but there are things that I've had to do in my life, short little life as it is, that I can actually go back. There are two experiences in my lifetime thus far that I've had that I can literally go back to almost the actual moment in time and say, here's where, had I decided to go to the left instead of the right, then those two experiences I never would have had. Now, if I had made those decisions back then, I have no clue as to what my life would be like today. And I often wonder, is that kind of information really relevant in that here I am today, here now? What difference does it make that I have those insights? That's great, but that's not where I'm living anymore.
I think I understand, yes, but it all adds up. It's coins in the bank of our what I call a soul-directed life. Soul reunion relates to being more of our authentic self, more soul-directed versus the other, separated survival consciousness. So every time we make a choice that takes us one direction or the other, so to speak, we are putting pennies in the bank of either survival or creation, just to put it simply.
So reflecting is still a valuable tool, not so much for, say, avoiding making the same mistake again a third time in terms of, you know, if we don't study history, we're doomed to repeat it, as much as it is understanding that that's the process?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So we can't go back and, you know, which so many people do, go back in time and sort of slash and burn themselves and say, if only I, why didn't I, and all of that. You know, the beauty of this time right now, 2012, that's being, you know, toted as such an important time, is it's creating a sense of soul urgency, I call it, with everyone. And that soul urgency relates to people going, if not now, when? I need to start getting in touch with this authentic nature of myself that is the only thing that really matters. Trying to find A, B, C, and D that I know is not going to get me where I want to go, I've got to let go of that survival thing and go for it. Or thinking that, you know, I have to take care of all these people in my life or my life will never take me where I want to go. It's like, I've got to stop doing that because it's not working for me.
Yeah.
And to really start getting honest with what is working and what's not working.
And again, it does sound to me like that's the best way to determine what is and isn't working.
Yes.
Let's talk about, again, it's all fine, well, and good to you know, get insights and intuitive readings and so forth from other people. I've actually done it on many occasions, but I don't look at it as, please tell me what I need to know. Please answer this question for me. It's now I've come to the place where it's like, okay, I'm feeling a little insecure about what I already know. I just need a little confirmation. That's all I need, just a little support. You're not telling me anything I don't already know, but right now where I am at, I'm a little shaky.
Yes, and that part of what's happening there is you're learning how to get in touch with and listen to your inner voice, but there are other parts of you in relationship to something that seems very meaningful to you, other parts of you that are going, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Is it really right for you to move forward in that endeavor? Maybe, blah, 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 and that's what you're up against. And so it's really good to get, in essence, yes, the validation, but also the sense of support that someone really hears that deeper part in you that is wanting to, you know, and that would be spirit, mm-hmm. that is wanting to help you move forward in what really matters for you and says, yes, go for it, or no, that really isn't such a wise thing at this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've often pondered, and this is just a thought on my part as to, again, that intuition, because I've learned, you know, I'm a Reiki master. I know kinesiology. I've practiced many other different types of not just the healing arts, but energy work and so on and so forth. And all of that is tapping into the same thing. And we need each other. We cannot escape the fact that. And I use this analogy when talking with people about the number of people on the planet and the skirmishes and so on and so forth. And I say, look, if, you know, because I take the assumption for the sake of argument, we didn't create ourselves, just for the sake of argument in this context. If God, and again, put whatever name you choose to for that, had intended for all of us to live solitary lives, I would venture there are sufficient planets in the universe for all 7 billion of us at this time. Here's the reality. We're all here together now. So that, to me, it may more than just imply that we're intended to work together to solve the challenges that are before us at any given time in our present day, in our present moment, in the now.
Uh-huh.
So for someone to rely 100% on and go off and do based on what the soul is leading and guiding them to do, the soul wouldn't lead them and guide them to go off on a solitary path, if
correct.
You will?
Yeah, correct. No. When we are actually aligned with our soul, we will start to feel that sense of oneness within us with all that is soulful, and we will want to contribute and be part of those who are also in that soulful place. So we will find it very natural to be with others. And we will also find it very natural just to be with the people who really are wanting to be connected and soulful and all of that. We won't, you know, people go, well, gosh, you know, I really don't want to be part of this world because then it means I have to work with the nincompoop, so to speak. How's that for an old one?
Uh-huh.
You know, and so then, you know, everybody stops doing what they're doing because they think they need to not be part of this world. But when you're connected, you feel a great sense of being part of this world that is co-creating with spirit. And yeah. You feel like you want to be a co-creator with spirit with the people here. Yeah.
Susan Taylor Shire, author of Soul Reunion, and the website, once again, is soulmastery.net. Who is Susan Taylor Shire?
She's an ever-changing aspect of creation, continually. Yeah, that's a good one to try to define, isn't it?
Well,
you know,
go ahead.
In my biography, my bio, yeah, I guess that's the biography, I often speak about the fact that I am on a mission to help everyone feel a sense of fulfillment, a sense of success, a sense that they really can live a soul-directed life. So in that sense, that is who I am, someone that would loves to see everyone's life flourish. Does that mean I take care of people? Does that mean I overextend myself to people? No, never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you.
It means that I am a divine cheerleader for all that wishes to come forward through each one that I get to be with, whether it's as a client, a student, or someone in the grocery store.
And you've kind of answered my next question, which I will go ahead and put forth, which
all right.
is, what do you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing, as well as the book Soul Reunion?
Yeah, I think I did answer that. Mm-hmm. How great is that? So, yes.
You're saving time for more questions.
I want to inspire people to live a soulful, heart-directed life.
Yeah.
To feel what that feels like, to live from that place of soulful love, soulful peace, soulful joy, all of those things that we really, really, really want more than anything else, even though we say we want money, etc. We really want that feeling of wealthiness on the inside that only comes from a soulful dimension.
And, of course, we hear the stories time and time again of those who have the wealth, whatever its forms may be, and many of them aren't happy. They are unfulfilled. And that's not to say that there's anything wrong with having those things.
Right.
But they haven't quite connected the dots and realized that those things don't make us happy, joyous, and don't reconnect us with that which is truly important.
Yes. And when we really think of it, it's a quality of life that we are wanting to have. We really want a quality of life. And so it's qualities of spirit that we're looking for when we say we want a quality of life.
Mm.
So how do we get connected to qualities of spirit? Speaking of manifestation, we get in touch with qualities of spirit by connecting at a soul level so that that's where we get hold of those things. Mm. I have found that to really deeply have what we want, You know, there's nothing wrong with divine longing. And to have that longing fulfilled, it is essential to get in touch with the qualities of spirit that we want when we say we want a new car, we want money, whatever it is. It's so essential for us to get in touch with the qualities of spirit. Then we have the soul, our soul and the universe backing us 110% in being able to bring forward that creation that's important to us.
And it takes us into a direction I hadn't planned on going on this program, but you've kind of opened the door to it.
All right, then.
And, and that has to do with, well, I will call it what it's being called in its current day vernacular, and that is the law of attraction, and how
right.
frustrated people are
right.
because for them, it ain't working.
Right.
And then there are those who are coming against the law of attraction, again, in whatever names that it's being put out through, whether it be The Secret or some other format, and saying, see, it doesn't work because they left out some stuff. They didn't want you to really know it because they got it, because they've got all the money. Look at all the money that they've hauled in, and that some of that's yours because you bought their things. And it's like, wait a minute, where is this coming from? But it sounds to me,
funny.
Like, in a way, there is sort of something missing, and it isn't something that was left out. It's maybe something that is right there in plain sight, and they just didn't clue into it.
Well, you know, where the consciousness was then was, yes, it's time to bring out this law of attraction, and we really can do things in a whole new way, which is really, really exciting. Was something left out? No, it was just this was the beginning point, and this was an opening. And, you know, anyone knows who writes a book, tells a story, gives a presentation, there's always a sense afterwards that you could have done more. Thank goodness, we're great creators. We can always create more. It's always a beginning point. It's never an ending point. So nothing was left out. There's just so much more. And at the same time, I have discovered, and it was the topic of my second book, Soul Radiance, Bring Your Soul Riches to Life, and a continuation of that came in the Soul Reunion book as well, is a sense of having to get hold of these qualities of spirit that are so important if we are going to truly manifest, create, whatever you want to call it. You have to have the soulful dimension working with you and embody that. So yes, it's true, you have to feel it, but you have to embody, again, these qualities of spirit. When you say you want a new car, what's the quality of spirit? You know, if you say to the universe, I'm going to feel what it feels like, you're going to get into a quality of spirit, which is, for instance, luxury, safety, mm-hmm. greenness, whatever it is. It's so important to name that and feel that and embody that and open your heart and soul to those dynamics. Yep.
And if we tend to focus on the material aspects of it, is that a distraction? Because it isn't, because that's not really what's important, in spite of the fact that, okay, yeah, I would like to drive a luxury car. That would be really nice. But is that what is really important here when we're talking about the soul?
No, it's not. But the soul will not say, you can't have that. The soul and spirit will say, if that's truly a sense of value and depth of value to you at this moment in your life, and you are living from a soulful place, then of course you can have that. It, you know, it's not going to take anything away from you. So there's nothing that doesn't fit in the field of creation and what we can create, but we just have to be careful what our reason for it is. Because as you know, there are many so-called very high-level spiritual people who have luxury type cars.
Mm-hmm.
So do we say that's not spiritual, or are we saying that because we're jealous?
That's a
you know, when we say, well, that's not spiritual,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure that's envy coming out there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we have all struggled with. Those messages were still there even in that 15-year period for me, working for a Christian station. And, of course, everybody was praying for this and that and the other, and as well as, you know, good health and a good relationship and so forth. And I've shared this once before on the program, and it was interesting how it was interpreted by my guest, where I had some people who came in and it was a prayer program, and they did their program, and after the program was over, they came into the control room, and you don't know this, but I was born legally blind, and yet here I was doing all of this work, and they came in and they said, "We would like to pray for you and lay hands on you for your healing." And I said, and this is truly where I was at the time, I appreciate that. However, that's not my purpose here on this earth. My purpose is not to be healed. My purpose is to be doing the things that I'm doing. Now, and I actually said this, I can't stop you from praying for me, to which my guest said, "Well, why would you want to?" And I said, "Well, I hadn't really thought about it from that standpoint." But I remember hearing on these programs, the same people were calling over and over and over again. And I really tapped into something other than they were looking for their healing. They weren't looking for their healing. They were looking for a connection. They were looking for that contact. That's what they wanted more than anything else, even if they did or didn't have the condition. So I also said to them, I said, "Look, you know, I know God can heal me, and I'm right here. I'll even take a collect call from God, okay? He knows where I am. He knows what I'm doing." I mean, I went through this whole thing. But that's just where I was at the time. And, you know, today I see well enough to drive. I had a lens implant in 96, and technology finally caught up with me to assist. But that seems to also be a point of contention as far within individuals, as far as why hasn't this changed in me? I've been praying, or I've been meditating, or I've been going to healers, or I've been to, I even went to a tent service with my first wife, who was totally blind, and they laid hands on us and they anointed us with oil and everything. And other than it was a wonderful experience and we were touched by some people and got some hugs and some friendly smiles and so forth, as far as our vision at that moment didn't change.
Right, right, right. And, you know, there's just so many factors in a question like that. But like you said, we have to realize that that's not really what we want. It's a quality of life that we want.
Yeah.
We're not saying if my vision changes, then my life changes, because at one level, at a soul level, we know that's not the case.
Yeah.
It's not
I want my arm fixed or my eyes healed. It's I want the contact. I want the connection. I want the relationship.
That's right. We really do, beneath it all. And many people are afraid to actually say what I really want is the connection, the love, the this, the that, because they're so afraid they're not going to get it that they just fish around and go, okay, well, I'll just focus on, you know, getting some eyesight, because at least that might be a possibility.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And it's not true.
Well, Susan Taylor Shire, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program, Susan, and for sharing with us your books. You have three of them, but we were kind of looking at sort of all three of them at the same time. But Soul Reunion is available, and your other two works are available, along with many other things. You have workshops and different things going on all the time at soulmastery.net, and we're linked to you as well. Thanks so much. It's been great having you on the program.
Wonderful. And do I have 1 minute to just say something?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So I wanted to, as a special offer to the people that have listened to this wonderful, fun show with you, Richard, I so appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, I encourage people, obviously, to keep listening to you, because you're a very creative, open person who's just wanting to share so much with the world of what is already the wealth of this world and the people here. But for those of you who go to my website and see, join my email list, or you can email me at Susan with two N's at soulmastery.net, and say you heard this show, I am offering a Co-Creating with Spirit's Wealth MP3 download for free. So I love doing that to thank people for listening and listening to their spirit and wanting so much to be have a greater openness to all that they are and all that they have to bring, that I just love to be able to say thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank
you. That's my way.
I appreciate that. And I know our listeners do. And we look forward to talking with you again in the near future about your continued work.
Great. Thank you so much, Richard. Fantastic to be with you.
Susan Taylor Shire is my guest. The book we're talking about today, Soul Reunion, and we encourage you to check out our website at soulmastery.net. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices. We've given you a lot of things to think about on this program. My head is still spinning, folks, and I certainly hope that you will listen to the program again. Until next Saturday at this same time, love to all.